Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff, and just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
It is us.
It's us again.
It is Madman at 9, the Rise Guys. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
Good night.
I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm not quoting Truman exactly, but kind of.
By the way, if you were expecting someone besides us, clearly you found the wrong podcast.
And by the way, this is episode 6 of After Hours with the Rise Guys. And thank you already for your overwhelming support.
Yes, thanks for listening. Thanks for continuing to listen. We're never going to run out of stuff to talk about, so y'all just hang out.
Yeah, but this is a day and age where everybody has a podcast now. I mean,
yeah.
And the fact that this one's already seeing incredible statistics, as we call them in the business, statistics.
We're impressed and happy and very pleased with how things are going so far with After Hours with the Rise Guys.
I'm still kind of concerned where they have us at on iTunes. We're under the Society and Culture podcast.
Anything to throttle us a little bit, you know.
I don't know what that means exactly. What is culture?
Nothing. We don't have any. I've been called uncultured many a time.
You don't want that kind of milk.
No.
You don't want culture.
I don't know what you want. I like, you know, good cultures. Good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about stuff I don't know anything about. I'm done with that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm not coming to work tomorrow. It's been a big week for us so far. First off, the release of two brand new beers.
Oh, yeah. Two brand new beers. If you're here in the upstate of South Carolina where we are, you can get these beers. Otherwise, start driving. Come get some.
Come get you some.
Yep.
You've got Matt Mann's Rootin' Tootin' Rooster Red Ale.
Yeah, you do. And then your fat boy got his Growlin' Prowlin' Golden Ale.
Yes. Both by Thomas Creek. Both coming to a grocery store or convenience store near you.
As long as you're in the upstate of South Carolina, or Western North Carolina, or the Midlands of South Carolina.
Yeah.
If you're out of the list, out of our general region, you can't get it.
You cannot.
Unless you come here to get it.
Yeah. But it's worth the drive, some say.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Some say that.
Plus, it's a beautiful area to visit. Please come support tourism here.
Thank you. I'm going to roll over here and turn these lights down a little bit. Do you care?
No, do it, man. Do it.
Because I love... There we go. Is that okay right there?
Yeah, I like that. It looks good.
A little lower?
No, it's fine. Yeah. If you want to, I don't care.
All right, a little lower. It's real low-key when we do this. You know, in the mornings when we're doing, just the regular Rise Guys morning show on 93.3 The Planet Rocks... It's, you know, sun's coming up. You want to stay energetic. You got to keep that momentum going, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
This is just like Mark Hendricks, our voice guy, did at the beginning. Yeah, laid back.
Yeah, I think he actually came in here to do that, and he really captured the mood of this dimly lit windowless room.
Yeah, he actually laid down on a chaise lounge to record that.
He did, and he brought it from home.
Wanted to fully be relaxed. I don't recall. I think when we did our other podcast, this isn't our first podcast, you know.
No, we had another podcast some years ago.
We used to do a podcast specifically about wrestling.
Now, you know people are going to tune out because you said the word wrestling. People who don't like it have such a hatred for it, they're going to tune out just because you said that word.
Yeah, but like And I understand that. Look, I'm falling out of love with it myself. There's certain,
you
things.
You don't say that for them.
There's certain. No,
I'm saying that for their benefit.
I'm not saying it for them.
Yeah, I mean, you are.
There's certain parts of it that I just don't like anymore.
Yeah.
There's certain things that I do like.
But that's with anything.
But you, yeah, it is with anything.
That's with like, things you enjoy.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a big cyclist and you found out that Greg LeMond was going to be somewhere and you got to hang out with Greg LeMond.
Yeah, or you got to go do a gig. If you're really into like auto racing, you got to go do a gig with like an Andretti or Richard Petty or somebody. No, that's kind of where we got to go with this because we really like it and we got to go hang out with legends of the field.
Yeah. Like one time, like, okay, listen to this. One time, just to meet and take a picture and get an autograph from the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
We pretended to be interviewing him.
Yeah, we did. I don't know how in the hell that came together because there's a guy by the name of Bill Apter who's always been the editor-in-chief or whatever for big-time pro wrestling magazines.
This isn't going to be just about wrestling.
No.
Don't tune out yet.
No. He was just a big-time magazine editor in that field specifically. Somehow we wound up on an elevator with him, and he led us upstairs at the University Hilton in Charlotte to Dusty Rhodes' room, and I have no idea how any of this came to be.
Well, I had arranged the interview through the promoter, Greg Price.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay.
I think he just said, hey, follow Bill Apter.
Okay.
But the door opens to this hotel room, and there he is, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
The tower power too sweet to be sour.
It was a surreal scene, seeing him there in his Texas A&M shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Yes. Cowboy boots. It's like, I didn't know if he was there to do a meet and greet or if he was getting ready to participate in a bunkhouse brawl.
He could have done it, either one. But no, he's just there to meet and greet.
WCW head of security,
Doug Dillinger.
Doug Dillinger laying there on the bed. Like, did we interrupt something? I pretended to interview him, and God bless, I had a tape recorder there, and mm-hmm. we pretended, and I didn't even hit record.
You were so in on the facade of the fake interview that you didn't take advantage of a real interview.
And I'd love to have had the real interview.
Yeah.
Man, I did. But yeah, so the first podcast that we did was just all about wrestling. And mm-hmm. like you say, Jimmy, you know, generally speaking, most human beings have hobbies or likes and dislikes.
Yeah,
you know?
Something you're really into. I'm really into horror movies. So it'd be like getting to go and work alongside Kane Hodder for a Saturday evening.
Right.
So some of the stuff we got to do related to wrestling would be
yes,
like that.
Yes. And that's
he played Jason in a bunch of movies.
Kane Hodder was best Jason, if you ask
me. He was by far.
But with doing the wrestling show and the podcast and really just the regular Rise Guys morning show, it did afford us the possibilities to meet and hang out with some of those guys.
Yeah.
And see a side of it that we never got to see.
Yeah, we were on the shows with them at various there were some high school gymnasiums, but they weren't all. Sometimes it was an actual auditorium.
Sometimes it was a National Guard armory.
Sometimes.
Yeah, that was when it would be like, okay, so look at it this way. Imagine, let's say you're a big baseball fan, and let's say that you're a Braves fan, right, and you're going to see Freddie Freeman, you're going to see Ronald Acuna Jr. play, and then, oh my God, coming out of retirement is Javi Lopez and Ryan Klesko.
Yeah, but you're not just in the right field bleachers, you're in a uniform too.
You're in a uniform too.
Yeah, well, come on. We were booked on the damn show. Don't short sell us.
Card subject change. Yeah, I mean, so we were there. It's more of a promotional vehicle, but we would, Nine and I would.
Still got paid.
Would be like a managerial or a valet type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I guess a valet is just for women.
That's what they call it, yeah, but a man could be a valet, I think.
Yeah, lady manager.
We just walked in the ring and hung out.
Yeah, and, you know, like the one thing I can remember, there are several key things that I can remember. I remember the Greenville Memorial Auditorium, Midnight Express versus Rock and Roll Express. And flash forward, I don't know how many years, to whatever building that was in, to open, I didn't have my eyes closed, but to just look around a locker room. And there's Nine, that's familiar. oh my God, there's the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
There's Jim Cornette, and they're changing clothes in front of me.
Yep, there's Sweet Stan Lane. Yeah, I mean, how many of you heroes have you seen naked? I've seen quite a few of mine totally naked. And they were all older men at that.
And I know.
It's not something many people get to experience is seeing your childhood heroes in the buff.
Right.
Not that you necessarily want to a lot of times. Not that it's necessarily good. Except for Jim Cornette's Tidy Whities.
That was fun.
That was great.
That was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah, like in wrestling, you know, they have the whole thing of kayfabe, the unwritten rule of the boys that, you know, you don't expose the business. But that's long and gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's over and done with, you know. I can't tell you how many times on the Rise Guys morning show it was almost like my heart was ripped out by three different men. Do you remember those men, Jim?
No, I don't.
It was the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Oh, okay.
It was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah, but who was the third?
Jim Ross.
Okay, he was the third, yeah.
And I know, as a kid, I left the Memorial Auditorium, and we went to the Shoney's over there on Pleasantburg afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and I saw Ric Flair having dinner with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
You did.
Many years later, I would say to Ric Flair, hey, as a kid, I saw you here, blah, 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 blah. He's like, no, you didn't. A, I wouldn't have been hanging out with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat because I hated his guts. We feuded all that time. And B, I would never go to a Shoney's.
Never go to a Shoney's.
Oh, excuse me, not Shoney's, Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Yeah, he Shoney's. Definitely wouldn't go to a Shoney's.
Red Lobster.
Yeah.
I know what I saw. But
you
it
know
was
what
that
you saw,
thing and... of, well, there's no way we've done that. Because that's the business. We would have never hung out with each other.
That's the business back then. Back then is when it was full of old carnies.
It made me look like a liar.
Well, it's the business. You know exactly what it is. It doesn't make you look like a liar. It makes them look like they're doing business
yeah,
in their minds.
To look at, you remember,
these are men in their 60s with concussion problems. Come on.
I know. And that's part of it, too, is like you're looking around that locker room. I don't remember specifically. I want to say it was Morganton. I'm looking around that locker room. And
there's a bunch of them.
I'm seeing these guys that I used to pay to go see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you said, Jimmy, like you said, you're on the same card with them. You're paying. You're getting paid maybe just as much as they are.
Yeah, in some cases you are.
And I start to feel bad.
What, for them or for you?
For them.
Or for the people in the crowd.
I feel bad for the heroes, the legends. You know?
I mean, they are the legends. They're Hall of Famers in their industry. And
but they're shysters, some of them.
A lot of them are, yes. A lot of them are. I've seen some terrible things happen. There's one guy who was a big, pretty big WWE superstar. He was never actually literally big, but he was, you know, on TV every week for about a decade or more throughout the early 2000s into the mid 2000s.
Yeah,
man, what a dick he was, especially to the kids who bought his merch. The way this guy made fun of the kids who bought his merch. Obviously, I'm not going to say who he is because I'm talking so much trash about him. And you know, I didn't say that. And, you know, wind up with some kind of libel suit because he's a lying ass. But yeah, I mean, just sitting back there and watching him just trash the kids who gave him money for crap nobody should have been paying money for.
Write it down for me. I forget. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's the worst. But, you know, you get that with anything. Like, I've told the story humpteen times about as a young baseball card collector, I went to the show up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Willie Mays, you know, I'm paying X amount of dollars to get his autograph.
He was almost as good a baseball player as Albert Pujols.
Well, who knows when the folks are going to listen to this. But I pay him, you know, as a kid, my dad, whoever, we pay him to get an autograph, and he signs the baseball, doesn't even speak to me, and rolls it back across the table.
That's the worst. Make sure you get a nice smudge on it.
And then his handler's like, all right, next.
Next.
I had all these questions I was going to ask. Hey, why do they call you Say Hey, Willie Mays?
Yeah, and then you found out from watching TV.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just,
Mel Allen later told me.
It's just what happens. But
on Twib.
The good thing about going into what we were doing with the pro wrestling thing, though, is that you know it's shiesty when you get into it. You know there are some criminals about and there's crooked business taking place. You know exactly what to expect. And it turns out that everything you thought you'd expect is everything you're going to see along the way.
Well, true. Like, part of when you do, like, these type of wrestling situations are what they call the indies, the independents. And part of the payday is not only the booking payment, but also you get, sometimes you get a gimmick table as well as part of your payment.
You can sell merchandise. You can sell autographed pictures or T-shirts or whatever, your old videotapes or whatever you got.
Anything. It can turn into an actual flea market. They'll sell old wrestling boots that they wore back at Starcade or whatever.
There's other people there who don't even wrestle. They're selling like old magazines from the 80s.
Yeah.
And the 90s. And just old magazines and stuff. I remember, I'll never forget the time I saw a guy that we both know try to sell. Look, this guy seemed strung out at the time. I imagine he was. But he had a copy of The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase's autobiography.
Yeah.
And he was doing a hard sell trying to push this book on a 5-year-old little girl for about $10 in cash.
Who had no idea.
No idea who The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase was. She's 5 years old, and this is 5-6 years ago.
I thought you were going to tell the story about the time when our gimmick table was actually taken from out underneath us.
Same night.
Part of it.
Same night. The guy who seemed strung out and was trying to sell the little girl The Million Dollar Man's autobiography, well, that same night, the way he got his spot on the gimmick table, he had half of our gimmick table.
Yeah.
We started out with a full gimmick table, but then a certain someone who is, in fact, a WWE Hall of Famer, someone who's been on Monday Night Raw and pay-per-view and Starcade and Monday Nitro bunches and bunches of times.
Still wrestles to this day.
Still wrestles to this day. A bona fide WWE Hall of Famer. I saw the exchange go down. The guy who got half our gimmick table. Well, for the purpose of this, we'll call him Eric.
Eric.
So Eric walks up and he grabs a hold of the Hall of Famer and they step out. This was in a high school gym, by the way, in North Carolina, and they step out into the hallway. You know, it's got those high school doors where they have that about foot and a half tall skinny window in them, the double doors they always do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking out the double doors. I know exactly what's going to happen. I just want to see if I can see. Sure enough, through the window, I see the exchange where this guy hands WWE Hall of Famer like a little cigarette cellophane wrapper, kind of little plastic pouch.
I know what that is.
Full of pills.
Oh, pills.
Hands him that. So he pockets that because he's not wearing his wrestling tights yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back in. All of a sudden, Eric occupies half our gimmick table.
Half of it.
Now, the funny thing about this story is that, right, he leased space on our gimmick table in exchange for pills.
Mm-hmm.
He gave this guy pills. This guy gave him half our gimmick table. We know the guy. So if he just walked up to us and said, hey, can I put stuff here? We probably would have said yes, and he wouldn't have had to give his pills to somebody who was a needless middleman in the situation.
You should have gave the pills to us.
But that's how wrestling works.
No, I didn't want the pills.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Especially after back surgery, I haven't won in one since.
That is how wrestling works.
That's like, exactly how wrestling works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dirty side of something. Like, I can never forget the moment. It was still Pomelo days, and it was Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, and he got his hair cut off by Pistol Paz Watley.
No, you were mad?
I was so mad, and I was distraught, and my daddy says, oh, Matthew, ain't none of it real anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, Daddy, you don't get it. Like, it totally is.
It totally is.
Cut his hair off, and this is an awful thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you suspend your disbelief, but when you go and you see the dark side of it, I mean, we saw just a glimpse of it, but we were at shows where, like, Sting was at.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair.
Yeah, I mean, we hung out and had a 30-minute conversation with big stars back in the day, like Magnum TAs and stuff. We've talked to Lex Lugers and Road Warriors and all kind of like big names in the business.
Yeah. Well, one of the Road Warriors.
One of them.
A Road Warrior.
Rest in peace, Hawk. We talked to Animal.
We talked to Aminal.
Yeah, who was great because he was like real, he was more wholesome than I imagined. He was so proud of his son, the NFL football player.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Laurinaitis, right?
Yeah.
No, his name's Joe. What's his son's name?
John.
John Laurinaitis?
No, that's
his brother's name.
That's the brother. Why would he name him after his brother?
I don't remember his son's name. It might have been Joe Jr. Who knows?
Anyway, I think it was.
James Laurinaitis.
Yeah, played for Washington?
St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll James Laurinaitis, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was just so proud to tell us all about his son playing in the NFL, playing linebacker at Ohio State, I believe.
But what's weird, though, is like that was maybe the same show. I forget. You know, you have Sting, who's in his 50s, who has to appear still wearing face paint.
Mm-hmm.
You have Road Warrior Animal,
mm-hmm,
who's in his 50s, who still has to wear the face paint.
Yes, he did.
And those guys were just there to take pictures with.
Yeah, but that, you know, Animal especially seemed perfectly comfortable wearing his face paint.
You think he wears it at home sometimes?
He might.
Just around the house?
Well, he might just get home from a weekend of shows and forget to wash it off.
God bless. They probably have to go to a dermatologist all the time.
Wake up the next day with grease paint on his pillow.
Yeah. Yeah, but you get to see a side of it that you love, and it's such a beloved kind of sports, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. But then you get to see that side of it, and
you get to see Scott Steiner rip a door in half, and you stand away from him. That's real, apparently.
No, that's one that I was not at.
Oh, that was one of the ones in Spartanburg where he didn't rip the door in half quite literally, not like King Kong style, but he was mad about something, and he went slamming through the door foot first, and then he slammed it behind him. Dude, this door was broke. Big metal security door was broken, bent, dented. I think it was off the top of the hinge, was broke off. The door was just had a big... I mean, it was broken. It wasn't going to close again. It was so warped and messed up from that monster of a man going to it for absolutely no reason that I could figure out.
And he realized he was in Spartanburg.
Probably. That's usually what it takes.
You know, that was...
Door's lucky he didn't get shot.
You know, I'm lucky to be here right now. I really am.
You are, because it's something that happened in Spartanburg.
In Spartanburg.
This isn't nearly as much fun as the stories of, you know... drinking wine with Kevin Nash and seeing all our heroes naked. This isn't nearly as much fun as those ones.
I didn't care so much about seeing your heroes naked nine.
I enjoyed it. You know, dude, you know that you enjoyed that.
I could have an artist rendering of Jim Cornette and his tighty whities right now.
Yes.
I remember it plain as day.
Yes. And I'll never forget the time I tripped over one half of the Rock and Roll Express.
You know what? That guy.
Blessed.
Blessed. You know, I don't know why that would... I would have it down my tights. That would be my gimmick.
I'd wrestle naked.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to... Well endowed would
be the word. Yeah, I'd clothesline people with it.
We're talking about Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. Yeah. Hoot is packing some heat.
I'm telling you, he knows.
But, so the situation was this. Ric Flair was appearing at this show. Ric Flair was not there to wrestle. It's just a meet and greet thing. And
that's all it was.
Come out, welcome the crowd. Unbeknownst to them, he was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Heading back to Charlotte, or I don't know if he was available to go there then, but
yeah,
wherever. Well, the situation was this. You have the nasty, or not, excuse me, not the Nasty Boys. I almost said Nasty Boys.
Don't say Nasty Boys.
It was not the Nasty Boys.
No.
Who was it?
The Nasty Boys.
It was the Nasty Boys. And Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags.
Yeah, those, they're the Nasty Boys.
Are they in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. They won the tag team championships at WrestleMania 7, though. They're guys who've been the tag team champions all over, traveled the world wrestling.
So Ric Flair, again, they are just a meet and greet, welcome the crowd, and then he's out of there.
Yeah.
And I know that when they book us for it, part of the reason they book us is A, you'll have some P1s come out and see us. B, we'll talk about it on the radio, whatever. Put it on our social media. They sell some tickets. Nine and I are booked to go out to the ring with a tag team.
Yes, we are. Now, here's where the thing comes in is that we're from here, and we're on the number one morning show in the area, the region. And we're booked on this show, and our old assistant producer was a pro wrestler, so everybody knows that we know him.
Right.
I mean, everybody in the building knows this.
Sure. Everybody
and
realizes
about 3,000 people there, maybe 3,500 people there at Spartanburg Auditorium, the downstairs part. But the Nasty Boys are not from here. They're from up around Pennsylvania somewhere, I don't know. And they've never spent time here, and they don't know us, and they don't know our assistant producer at the time, so they don't know any of this stuff.
Right.
So they come in, and they have this idea that we're going to go out and do some generic, you know, in the ring, like, hey, radio guys, I got to see you guys, you know, throw out a T-shirt, whatever, screw you. You know, that kind of stuff like you do, boom, 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 take it home, brother.
Right.
And then we're going to be interrupted by the tag team, which is made up of our assistant producer, who we're friends with,
right,
and another guy. So they're the bad guys, and we're their victims, and then we get saved by the Nasty Boys is the idea they pitch, which doesn't make a damn bit of sense to anybody in the building who bought a ticket for the show that night. So there's old carny business, there's doing business, and then there's doing business the right way.
Right.
And they wouldn't listen to us.
And they, well, here's the problem, though, with these independent promoters, most of them book the matches and then say, all right, y'all figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, they don't have any say-so creative.
A lot of times they don't care.
There's very little creativity goes into any of those shows, especially those ones.
The problem with it, no, was Jeff's tag team partner, was that Brian Cage?
No.
I know he was on that show.
No.
He's now on AEW.
He's an older guy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Who worked on with the company or whatever. Yeah. So, yes, That made no sense. That made zero sense. That
yes,
we would be
to go
attacked
out and be attacked by the guy who works for us.
And then we were going to be saved.
Yeah.
By the Nasty Boys.
Yeah. So they wanted us to actually go out, and we don't even know our assistant producer when he comes to the ring, but we know him. Everybody in the building knows him and us, and they all know we know each other.
Ric Flair had just been on the show that week promoting all this.
Yeah.
We were all in the same room lollygagging around. Ha ha.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that didn't set too well with us.
No.
We knew it didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense, but we couldn't talk to the Nasty Boys when we tried to tell them. They just didn't listen and kept going because they're kind of just boorish guys.
Well, and also they wanted to come in as the heroes or the faces or the baby faces, the good guys. Because
they still could have. They just needed to listen to what we had to say.
Because at the end of the night, they wanted to sell more T-shirts. They wanted to sell more photo ops and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's one thing people in professional wrestling will do. They tend to be very insecure, and they think that you, as an outsider, have no understanding of the way the business works. It ain't rocket surgery. It ain't that difficult to figure out how to work a crowd. We do it 5 days a week.
You perform surgery on rockets all the time,
all
Jim.
The time, man.
You taught Elon Musk
it's
all
about brain science.
Yeah, so, I mean, the other thing with that, too, is even the bad guy. Look at Stone Cold, man. Stone Cold is he's an asshole in real – I mean, not in real life, but, like, his character is – his character is, but people love that because he's beating up the boss man, drinking beer, and all that stuff. So these guys don't agree with that. They say no.
They just wouldn't listen to it, what made sense.
Well, we made a last-minute decision.
Yeah.
That we're going to try to go out there and get some heel heat.
They could still be the heroes.
They could be the heroes, right?
Yeah. They got what they wanted in the end of this.
So
they got the exact outcome and reaction they wanted.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My idea was to go out in the ring and talk crap about Ric Flair, who at that time had already left to go back to wherever he'd come from.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, guess what? Y'all paid to see Ric Flair? Ha, guess what? He's already gone.
He already left. He don't care about y'all. You knew that, but now I'm telling you anyway.
Then the tag team that we're associated with, they come out not even really interacting with us. Like, I don't know why we're still there at that point.
We should have gone out to the ring with that tag team, and we're all the bad guys, being jerks to everybody, being dicks.
Right.
And then the Nasty Boys come out, chase us off, beat them down, and that's it.
It's a hardcore match. Falls count anywhere, weapons okay.
Which made it fun for us trying to run away from the Nasty Boys, but we're getting to that.
Because Jerry Sags, who is the dark-haired of the two, if you've ever seen these two. And
by the way, he's in better shape now than he was at WrestleMania 7, just for the record. This dude is,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you think he's getting up there in years, he's not as young as he was? No, trust me, he's in better shape now than he's ever been in his life.
Thank you for saying that.
No, it's
because
true.
I painted the picture that all these guys are old-timers out of shape on their last leg. No, he was still, I'm not going to say ripped, but
he was in better shape than he was as a tag team champion. I'm dead serious. That's not an exaggeration whatsoever.
That's fair to say. So we go out. We go
plus
out
he's
there.
He's a big dude.
Yes. 6'4" or 6'5".
One of those. He's big.
So, we go out there. Well, unbeknownst to me at the time, and really I considered myself a wrestling aficionado, I did not realize that Jerry Sags of Nasty Boys by marriage is related to Ric Flair.
Yeah, he is.
Legit.
Yeah. That's, he's got his connections to the Flair family and Knob's got his connections to the Hogan family. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's weird. I knew that way before I did the Flair connection. Well, Nasty Boys music hits. And rather than looking at the opponents
that
he wants to fight, the Nasty Boys, particularly Jerry Sags, is looking at us.
Yeah, and it didn't take us but a split second. I'm talking about a hair and a half. We were hauling ass through the guardrail to get out into the crowd in the safety of a bunch of people.
Because you know they will not go out in the crowd. And they're fighting with chairs. They're fighting with chairs. They're fighting with damn garbage cans. And I'm not talking about gimmick ones. I'm talking about real steel garbage cans.
Except in this case, Matt, man, they're doing a hardcore match. Like Falls Count Anywhere type hardcore match.
No rules.
So they were coming out in the crowd trying to put people through tables. Which is great because... Now, this is where it gets funny, because you have Jerry Sags and Brian Knobs, who are the Nasty Boys, who were very experienced pro wrestlers, been on a lot of big shows over the years.
I'm going to look up their sizes for everyone while you say this.
Sags is definitely the taller guy. Knobs was the thicker one at that point, especially.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that they're working the match, so they're pretending that they're beating these guys up, throwing them around and stuff out in the crowd. Meanwhile, Jerry Sags is continually trying to work the action. He's simultaneously... working, beating the guy up, but he's beating the guy up in our direction, trying to get over to us so he can get a piece of us in the process because he wanted to whoop our asses.
Jerry Sags listed as 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big dude. I mean, he Jerry Sags towered over you, and you're about 6'2".
Thank you. So they keep working their way over near us.
They kept trying to get over to us because Jerry Sags wanted to take our heads off, legit.
And if you know anything about this Spartanburg Auditorium, the downstairs part, I doubt you do, but we go out.
Picture a 1950s high school gym, but big.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We go out through where the meet and greet area was and back.
We wind up through the big ass kitchen.
The kitchen.
The kitchen that is like a kitchen out of a scene of a mob movie, like when they go in downstairs at the Bada Bing of Goodfellas or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like that.
And you're probably sitting there saying to yourself, oh, Matt, you're a pussy. You're running from the Nasty Boys. You're right.
Hell yeah.
You're right.
Hell yeah.
Problem with that is some of our gimmick bag or whatever is in locker room where we just were. The locker room we just were.
Yeah, so, all right, to paint the picture, you go out where the crowd goes out, and then to the right there's these kitchen doors and then the nice metal ones that swing open, shiny.
Big commercial.
Huge commercial
like
kitchen.
Something in The Shining.
It's about 200 feet long. It's pretty narrow, but it's about 200 feet long. It's a full-size commercial kitchen for sure. So... you go all the way out the other side of the kitchen, and you're in the locker room.
Yeah.
That's what separates the workers, the wrestlers, from the crowd, is that huge kitchen area. So we go out the other side of the doors, and who's waiting on us, man?
The Nasty Boys.
Both of them. But you got there first. I was behind you talking to somebody, so I didn't get there for about a minute.
Brian Knobs is furious.
Yeah.
Furious. Now, I don't even remember what the ending to the match was. I know they went over. They won.
They did. They, you know, busted some heads and went over. The older dude was bleeding pretty bad from it.
Yeah.
Now, if Brian Knobs was furious, what was Jerry Sags? Is there a word for what he was?
Infuriated?
Furious. I don't know if there's a word to describe how damn mad Jerry Sags was when you got back there.
Livid.
Livid's good.
Livid's
good.
He doesn't know our names. He's like the radio guys.
Yeah.
We're the radio guys.
Yeah.
There suddenly becomes quite a circle of people around him.
Yeah, very quiet, though. No one's saying anything. All these wrestlers usually very jovial, telling a lot of jokes, talking a lot of crap to each other, all this trash talking nonstop. Not right now, though. Very quiet.
This is a show where there's a lot of legendary types and some up-and-comers and some names. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, was the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes not there?
I don't remember, man.
I remember him being, I know Matt Hardy.
No, he was there. Cody was there.
Okay.
Cody was, I remember, yeah, Cody Rhodes was damn sure there.
Matt Hardy and then several others of, I can't think off the top of my head, but.
I remember Cody was there because Cody minded his own business and just kept lacing up his boots in the next room while this all went on.
Jim Cornette is there.
Yeah.
Several other, I hate that I can't think of them off the top of my head. A Road Warrior Animal.
Yeah, he was there. That was the night he was there.
Yeah, he was there. They start. So he's like, where are the radio guys at? I did not realize that until I'd already walked through those kitchen doors.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you saw from behind, Jimmy. But what I remember is walking up to him. Stupid. Why did I walk up to a guy who's screaming for radio guys and he's pissed?
I don't know. What happened? What I saw when I walked out of the kitchen, again, this is 30 to 40 seconds after Matt walked out of the kitchen probably. So when I walk out of the kitchen, what I see is... Jerry Sags, 6'5" with a skullet, like a mohawk mullet, actually.
Yeah.
He's got Matt by the beard hair up against the wall. It's a concrete wall, cinder block, cement wall. So he's got Matt by the beard hair, like not by the throat, not by the neck, but by the beard up against the wall. And behind Brian Knobbs, or behind Jerry Sags, is his tag team partner, Brian Knobbs, in that support position. You know, I got his back in case anybody tries to come up and stop this.
Right.
So that's what I saw when I walked out.
Well, that's what was happening. As I walked through there, it wasn't a word that was spoken. He grabbed me. You know, look, I'm not embellishing this, but I'm thinking in wrestling terms. So he grabbed me by my throat and pushed me to the wall.
Yeah.
He did not lift me off the ground.
No, absolutely
not.
In one arm.
But he, I mean, dude, he had me so far where his fingertips was touching the wall.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
And he had me lifted up. And I don't remember everything he said other than, you don't go out there and go into business for yourself, and especially do not run down the name of Ric Flair.
Don't disrespect Ric Flair is what I remember several times he
do
said
not
that.
And then finally, Jerry Sags, or excuse me, Brian Knobbs, actually, I think, talked him down.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, it's cool. Like, it's over with now, whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something. Do you remember the shakes that I had?
Oh,
after
I remember. Yeah.
You ever get, for those of you listening right now, you ever get so mad, like maybe it's at work or wherever, and you just get that your hands are shaking, like you know, like I'm in a fight mood right now, but maybe I can't do anything about it or whatever.
I want to fight somebody, but not the guy I need to fight. If I want to fight, you know what I mean? I want to fight him, but I'm gonna fight. No, I'm not either.
I remember I just went out into the parking lot. I said, I'm going home. This is over. I don't even care if I get, because in wrestling, you don't get the envelope until after the show's over. I was like, I don't even care if I get paid. I'm so pissed right now because I can't fight back.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Even if I wanted to,
well,
I'd get
you
my
could,
ass.
But you just get stomped into oblivion.
Big time.
You'd have a hard time coming to work with your jaws wired shut.
And it was a long time before I ever actually went and did any of those again.
It was a while.
Not because, I mean, was I scared? Hell yeah. I'm going to absolutely admit I was scared that night. But it's also one of those situations of there's no human resources, you know? There's no nobody to go to with an issue.
Well, it's one of those things being pro wrestling the way it is where it's, I mean, what do? You go up to a promoter and he's like, well, I guess you should have done what he said, huh? If you don't like it, go fight him. Huh?
Right.
If you don't like it, go kick his ass. Like, I can't kick. There's no way in hell I can kick his ass.
No.
Well, then you got to take it. Ain't no choice. Those are your options. Kick his ass or take it. And if you can't kick his ass, you take it.
And plus, even if let's say that I was bigger than him and I could have kicked his ass, you don't march into a wrestling locker room radio guy and say, hey, meet me outside, I'm going to kick your ass.
Could you have kicked 10 of their asses?
And then, honest to God, here's part of me, because I am a big wrestling fan, wrestling Mark, as they call him in the biz. When all the wrestlers started to circle around and everything, and he had me up against the wall, I thought everybody was going to start laughing. It's like, all right, man.
Oh, you thought that?
You just got ribbed. You're in the brotherhood now.
You know what?
Like a secret society thing, you know, where they get you in there.
You know what's funny is going through and telling that story, which is really the highlight of our brief wrestling endeavors and forays and careers.
Yeah.
You know what? I realize that the whole thing is, to me, where I sit now, granted, I didn't get jacked up by the beard hair against the wall.
Yeah.
Though if he'd known I was standing there, he might have turned around and got me some, too. I was very quiet in that moment.
Don't blame me. I couldn't talk either. It was like a breath.
Everybody was quiet except Jerry Sags. But you know what? The whole thing is just a big, it's kind of just a big misunderstanding. And it's funny to me now. For a while, I harbored some ill will towards them over that.
Yeah.
But right now, after telling the story, I don't. I think it's funny. How many people got jacked up by the throat by the Nasty Boys?
I know.
That's fun. Not, you have a story. Not many people can tell. I don't have any ill will towards those guys. Just a misunderstanding
that
turned into a great story to tell for the rest of your life.
Fat Boy got kicked in the face by the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez.
He did. Saw him naked, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Nice ass.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Fat Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not the Raging Bull.
Yeah, no, he's a nice guy, though.
Oh, yeah. Such a, like, yeah, it's such a weird thing because you grow up watching these guys. I had their posters on, not the Nasty Boys per se, but some of those guys. I had their posters on the wall.
Yeah.
I went to see them when they would come to town. And next thing you know, I get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm hanging, not that I was on the same level with them, not that you were on the same level with Jimmy, but we got to be part of the team and being paid for it. Like,
yeah.
Think it's insane that we were paid to do that.
Oh, it is, man. We were paid to go hang out with WWE Hall of Famers and various legends and champions and just people we'd grown up basically idolizing, watching on TV week in and week out. We'd buy pay-per-views to watch their matches. We'd spend $30 on once a month to watch their matches on pay-per-view.
I never will forget he had me up by the throat there, and when he would talk, because he's missing some teeth, there'd be a little bit of a whistle.
Yeah, a big
and
gap.
I'd want to laugh, but I knew they'd squeeze harder on my throat.
Yeah, you can. It's one of those things where if you got that dream thing to happen where you're actually, you're a big Yankees fan and here you are and you're hanging out with the Yankees and you're actually in uniform and you're kind of working alongside the Yankees, and then all of a sudden you do something wrong and here's Mickey Mantle drunk and whooping the tar out of you with a bat.
He starts beating your ass with a ball bat. Yeah. Or he's got you by the ball bat against the dugout.
And he's got drunk strength, too.
And Reggie Jackson and Chris Chambliss are just standing there looking.
They're just watching this happen. They're watching the Mick go after you.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it was that night in Spartanburg, South Carolina, the old historic Spartanburg Auditorium.
You know, this kind of talking about it, you said a moment ago, Jimmy, that for a little while you would have a little ill will toward the Nasty Boys over that. But you're right, though. It is a story. Like one you can't buy. You know what I'm saying?
It's a funny story. It's how we pissed off the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, you can go to a meet and greet and take a Polaroid with them, but you can't literally get them screaming cuss words at you and have you up on the wall by the throat.
You can't get them shooting on you.
Oh,
that's a wrestling term, by the way.
Shooting means you're not really working.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the jacket.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Nothing like that.
No.
God, and see, that's how this whole thing. This is what you have to, for those of you that hate wrestling and you hear the word wrestling and you just fall out of...
Those hardcores like that already quit listening to this about 30 minutes ago.
But the one thing, if you enjoy our show, if you enjoy the Rise Guys, if you're a fan of Matt Mann and Nine, you have to consciously admit that there would be none of this without wrestling.
Yeah, it all ties back into wrestling and the beginnings and the origins of the Rise Guys Morning Show, the origins of us being friends, the origins of After Hours with the Rise Guys, this podcast you listen to right now. None of it would exist without wrestling, which was my first love.
Yes.
And still high on my list of loves. The only thing I love more than wrestling is probably my dogs.
Well, you know, I was talking to attorney and friend Rob Inario the other day, and he was talking about a show coming up at the Spinning Jenny in Greer, a club, a bar.
It's a music venue now.
Yeah, and I said, well, you realize why that building is special to me? And he's like, why? It used to be a roller skating rink. I said, after that.
It was a feed and seed store.
But after that.
After that, it was the SCW Arena.
Yes, Southern Championship Wrestling.
So roller skating rink. Feed and seed store for livestock food.
Wrestling arena. And now a music venue.
Now a music venue.
And where Nine and I first met.
Yep. It's been all those things.
They should put up a plaque there at the Spinning Jenny.
They should, especially since we first met there 21 years ago.
Yeah. That's a story for maybe an After Hours.
Oh, it definitely is.
The story of how Saturday nights, it'd be me and Nine hanging out till 6 a.m.
Yep.
Eating cold pizza and... Well, the cannolis didn't last long.
No, they never lasted long. We'd always have some pizza after. We'd have pizza, then cannoli, then more pizza.
Before Matt Mann and Nine, it was Wrestling Matt and Producer Nine, Producer Jimmy.
Yep. On the way out here, I want to tell a real quick story about the night we met Sting, but doesn't involve Sting. Okay. Another one of my favorite things that happened to us in our wrestling days.
Not police Sting, but wrestler.
Wrestler Sting, not Gordon Sumner, Steve Borden.
Right.
Yeah. So we're in Lincolnton, North Carolina. If you've never heard of it, it's because it's a very small town, about an hour and a half outside of Charlotte.
Yes.
So we roll up to Lincoln, East Lincoln High or something. I think it was East Lincoln.
I forget. I never drove.
It was Lincoln High, one of the high schools in Lincolnton anyway.
I think you're thinking Lincoln High from Fast Times Ridgemont High.
It was in Lincoln County. It was called Lincoln something. Yeah. East Lincoln maybe. Anyways, one of the high schools right there in Lincoln, North Carolina. Sting's appearing. We're appearing. Bunch of legendary wrestlers are appearing. Soon as we get out of the car. Now, one thing you do when you go to a wrestling show is when you go to the locker room, what do? You shake hands with everybody.
You have to.
Everybody shake hands. This is hilarious.
I know what you're going to say here.
So this is hilarious. So this time in Lincolnton, we get out of the car, and our old assistant producer there, and he's wrestling on the show, and... So we're getting out of the car. We're just excited. We're just pumped up because we're gonna meet Sting for the first time. There's a lot of like Magnum TA and Lex Luger and all these people were excited to meet her on the show.
I bought a pair of black leather wrestling boots to get Sting to sign them.
Yeah, I had a custom painting like an Andy Warhol style painting of Sting's face paint designs.
Yes,
that I got him to sign. It's still hanging on the wall.
But we're also there as part of the show.
The Sting painting. I made sure to specify keeping that painting in my divorce agreement. All right. That was in the divorce papers that I got the sting painting.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of other things went unaccounted for, but I definitely was going to keep that.
Yeah. But we're in the talent parking lot, not the spectator.
We're over there with the marks.
Yes.
So we get out, and our assistant producer says, "Hey, man, there's Raven. Raven used to be in ECW and WCW and WWF back."
Raven's flock.
WWE. He was really cool, just like punk rock, grungy, beat the tar out of people and not care about his, you know, perfect, like the portrait of grungy Gen X. That was him. So, you know, we, like a couple dorks, like in my mind playing this back, dude, we were some dorks
about big time.
Going up, oh, we got Raven, hey, we got to go shake his hand.
I look at some of the pictures of what I'm wearing with some of these wrestlers, and I'm embarrassed at what I'm actually wearing.
Yeah, and then they just...
Like, you know that Hawaiian shirt I'm wearing with
our
picture with Vince McMahon?
That's great. I had the same shirt, because back then at the Big and Tall store, you only get like four shirts. Per season, then. So, we're just a couple doors. Oh, man, it's Raven. We got to go shake his hand.
Yes.
So we start going that way, and we get maybe 10 feet or so from him. And Raven, who could not possibly care less about anything at all, let alone us. He doesn't care about a damn thing, especially not us.
He probably hates wrestling at that point, but it's all he knows.
Yeah, he just says, guys, we don't have to shake hands. And he just walks off.
And this is 10 years prior to COVID.
Yeah, but it was just so funny because we were at that point, we were just a couple of dorks running to go shake his hand. Guys, we don't have to shake hands. And it's one of those things where it's funny now just to...
The other wrestlers laughed at us.
A dork who got kind of shut down and put in his place.
Yeah.
I would have laughed at us if I could have seen it.
I know.
I'm laughing about it now.
But at the time, I was like, screw Raven, I don't care.
Yeah.
I hope he gets real concussion this time.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I don't. He's had plenty. He's had too many. Oh, man, that wore me out. I got all infuriated for a minute, and then I'm just laughing at myself.
Yeah,
I wish there was... What if they have surveillance cameras over there? I'd love to see it.
I'm sure the tape's been eliminated in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, Nasty Boys deleted them.
Yeah,
they bought them and erased them.
Man, those DVRs don't have 5 years' worth of space.
No, they don't. Jimmy Jack Jackie, Episode 6. We really have to talk about the origins of our radio ship.
We will. We'll get to that in a future episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Yeah, y'all keep supporting the show, please. Let a friend know if you, a lot of people have time on their hands now more than ever before. Recommend it to a friend. Maybe it's somebody who doesn't listen to radio. Let them know not only about this podcast, but the regular podcast as well, the Rise Guys podcast, which is available on the radio.com app and Apple Podcasts and Google Play and all those.
Yeah, if you're just looking at any podcast delivery service and you put in the Rise Guys, you'll find this podcast and that podcast. We appreciate you listening to both our shows, any of our shows, any other shows we might appear on.
Yeah, subscribe and review and all that good stuff, and we sure do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for letting us be able to be employed doing this for a living.
Yeah, and really.
Allowing this.
We appreciate you listening to us run off at the mouth. And yes, get paid for it as well. Yes. But episode 7, next week, it's the Rise Guys. It's After Hours. Jimmy Jackie, take us home.
What do you want me to say?
I mean, take me home. I lost my car keys.
No, man, we're going in different directions. I'm going to Piedmont.
We'll see you back here next week.
All right. Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode. After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.